Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are murder, abuse, and explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and it comes from Michaela, and it says, "You girls are too funny. I can never listen to you without laughing. I'm going through a lot at the moment, and you girls never fail to make my day. I would love if you girls could read Corrupt by Penelope Douglas."
Ooh.
That's been on my radar. I've been meaning to send it in the group chat.
Yes. Mm. Dark romance.
We're sorry to hear you're going through a bad time. I'm glad we can make you laugh.
Oh my gosh, yes, and thank you for the sweet comment.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Broken Beginnings by Cleo Evans, and how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 4. I typically like suspenseful romances, though, but I was very shocked that I liked it this much, because all I can think about was, this is the same author as the other book.
Oh, the Not So Kind Regards.
Yes, and I was like, yeah. Where's that Omegaverse coming in? Or is it
There's no Omegaverse.
No Omegaverse. No, it was good.
I still am not sure how I feel about it. It was good. I just have internal things. I have thoughts about it. It's like a bully romance, but you would think that there would be more, what's that word?
Groveling?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She was just like, he's like, sorry. And she's like, okay. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just, for a bully romance, you would think there'd be more of that. But, you know, whatever. It was good, though.
I gave it a 4.5. I really liked it, but I did subtract a 0.5 star because it was a human penis.
That's how you're going to do your rating system from now on, right?
Yes. The maximum a human contemporary romance can get is 4.5 from me from here on out.
Okay. That's fair.
It's 14 years ago, and Hallie's sister Sarah is dragging her to a graduation party at the Harlow House. Hallie doesn't want to go because she's 2 years younger and she isn't into the party scene. And also, Cameron Harlow, one of the Harlow brothers, is her school bully. She gets bullied at school from Cameron because 4 years ago, her dad walked out on them. Then her mom committed suicide right after.
Yeah, she had it coming.
And he's like, ha, you suck. Your mom died.
Gotcha. Oh, my God.
So now they live in Texas with their grandma, Honey.
Cute.
Hallie finally agrees to go to the party. And once they're there, of course, her older sister, Sarah, ditches her. She's like, peace.
Ah, oh, I'd kill her.
Hallie hears someone call her name, and it's a guy with dark hair and a darker gaze. As he's moving towards her, a drunk Cameron slips his arms around Hallie and announces that she's made it to the party. She tries pushing her bully off, and they exchange angry words, and the next thing she knows, he dumps a beer all over in front of her, and she snaps, and her nice dress is all ruined.
Also, like, what kind of man bullies a woman?
During high school.
A pathetic pussy bitch.
You didn't have boy bullies in high school? That just means boys like you.
Yeah.
Hallie punches Cameron straight in the face, and he grabs her face to sneer something at her. But before he could, his brother Hunter, who's the oldest, yanks him back and tells him he's going to regret that, and then apologizes to Hallie as she walks home alone. It's 12 years later, and Hallie's driving her Corvette from her home in Boston to the one place she swore she'd never go back to, Austin, Texas. She's made a name for herself since leaving Texas. She writes articles for a well-known international travel magazine, and it's taken her all over the world, and it's made her very wealthy.
Hell yeah.
Except for something traumatic happened 3 weeks ago, and she needs her family now more than anything. Her sister Sarah is married and a mom to twins, but they've since lost contact. Regardless of the family drama that's going on, she knows that she needs to be home. Here in Citrus Cove, there's no crazy killer, there's no dead neighbor, and hopefully no more nightmares of her dying in her arms.
What's happening?
She rings the doorbell in front of her home, and Honey answers, and she immediately breaks down. Honey brings her in the house, calms her down, and then tells her to spill. 3 weeks ago, she was leaving her apartment when she heard screams down the hall. The door was cracked, and when she opened it, she witnessed a man slitting a woman's throat. He was wearing a mask and charged right after her, trying to attack her next. Oh, he missed her core, but got her arm. Other people heard the commotion and he ran off. And the woman in the apartment died in her arms and she had visible signs of being tortured.
I'd be fucked up. I'd be so unwell.
She's living with survivor's guilt since that day because although she knows it's not her fault, she feels horrible and in a sense responsible that the girl was being tortured doors away from her. She feels like if she would have paid more attention, she could have potentially been able to stop it from happening if she was more aware. Since everything happened, her bestie Emma took care of her, and that's where she's been staying. Her boss Tina has given her personal leave, and after 3 weeks of being at Emma's house, she knew she had to go home. Because there's one thing that happened that night that she hasn't told one single soul about, and she felt like running away was the only way to escape it all.
What didn't she tell anyone?
I don't know.
Cameron's family has owned a vineyard and an orchard for over 80 years. It's a family tradition one day to carve the initials into the oak tree once they found love. And now that he's 32, he can't help but to wonder when it's going to be his turn.
Cameron.
Every Harlow has their initials in the tree except him and his two brothers, Hunter, the oldest, and Sammy, the youngest. Him and his best friend Colton of 20 years co-own the bar, and Hunter is out of town, so Cameron has been working himself thin, trying to juggle the vineyard and the orchard while everyone is away. Colt goes to visit Cameron at work, and he tells him he has some tea today. He heard that Hallie Bentley's back in Citrus Cove. And now that Cameron's frontal lobe is fully developed, he realized how much he tormented the poor girl and wishes to make amends. And we kind of find out why Cameron was so horrible to Hallie when they were younger, and it's stupid as fuck. It's because during that time in his life, he lost his grandmother, and when Hallie and her sister moved here, it was during that exact same time, and it was one big change all at once, and two beautiful girls were a huge change. And he didn't know how to separate his anger and the grief over the pining that he felt for Hallie and like the insecurities of it all. So he kind of just lashed out on her specifically.
My grandma died. I'm going to bully
you. And you moved here in her place.
It's your fault. She died.
Hallie hears a knock at her door and she's high-key scared that it's a crazy murderer, but have no fear. It's just a beautiful, sexy man.
Okay. His eyes lit up with more amusement as he realized I didn't recognize him. It's Colt, Colton Hayes. We went to school together. You look amazing. Colton, I said, thoroughly shocked. High school Colton and adult Colton were not the same. High school Colton had been too tall and lean, with big feet and glasses. Adult Colton looked like Adonis, had a baby with a model, and added dimples just for good measure.
Oh, so he's hot. He's sexy. Colt invites her to a little hangout session tonight and also tells her he heard she might be looking for some work from Honey. He offers to introduce her to the owner of the bar since he's the co-owner and they're looking to hire. She tells him that she has a job, she just needs something to keep her mind busy while she's here and she's taking some time off, but she'll think about the party tonight. The party's at 6 and that gives her a couple hours to find a very hot outfit. She ends up wearing a sleeveless cherry red dress that looks stunning on her and she feels confident as fuck. The evening is going surprisingly well, that is until Colton tells her that he sees the boss and steers her in the direction that she needs to go. She's distracted by hearing her name being called by a familiar voice. She's unable to see who called her because when she turns back to look where she was walking, she runs into none other than Cameron Harlow, holding a tray full of shots that go crashing down her dress and onto the floor.
Shit.
It's the second dress he's ruined.
It is.
There's alcohol everywhere, glass everywhere, and due to the glasses falling all over her feet and ankles, there's now blood everywhere.
If Hallie Bentley were a rattlesnake instead of a gorgeous woman, I'd be a dead man. Hell, maybe I was a goner either way.
Cameron's little brother Sammy's trying to lighten the mood, but instead he ends up flirting away with Hallie, and she's covered in alcohol and bleeding, and Cameron is not having it.
I couldn't take it anymore. Without another word, I scooped up the girl who hated me more than the church ladies hated Satan. I moved toward the back of the house, taking her kicking and shouting through the doors.
I'd be so fucking mad.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
Just picks her up and carries her.
Like a baby.
Yeah. I'd be so mad.
I would wrestle myself down to the ground.
She's kicking and screaming, telling him to let her down. And he's like, whoa, take it easy. I just want to get you cleaned up. But internally, he's like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I'm literally acting like a caveman right now, but he just can't help himself. He insists he wants to make sure that she's okay. She's like, I literally hate your guts. Like, get away from me.
Tell him.
He tells her if she doesn't stop fighting him, he's gonna call her grandma. And she's like, you wouldn't dare.
Okay, isn't she an adult? I raised my gaze, meeting hers. Her cheeks were flushed, her arms crossed but not covering her breasts, which I could see the outline of her nipples. God help me, I was going to hell. I cleared my throat. Are you cold? She stared at me, then looked down, shaking her head. Hate is too kind of a word for what I feel right now.
don't look at my boobs.
You look cold. You're nippies.
As he's reining in his horniness, he looks down at her bleeding ankles and asks her to sit once more. And she follows his line of sight and pales and immediately obeys. He could tell she does not do well with blood, and she looks like she's about to keel over any minute. So he distracts her by bringing up the worst memory he could think of. And he's like, hey, remember when I poured beer all over you and like humiliated you in front of all of our high school classmates?
He's like, did you think that was funny like I did?
The distraction worked and brought her back to the present, and he told her that his brother Hunter beat the shit out of him that night for how he treated her, and he knows he deserved it. He's on his knees patching her up with band-aids and grabbed her shoes and put her sandals back on.
I looked up at her. If I were a good man, my cock wouldn't have hardened in my blue jeans from looking at her from this angle. But maybe I wasn't a good man. My zipper felt like it was about to burst, and I prayed she couldn't tell from where she was. I was on my knees in front of Hallie Bentley, and she looked so mad she could spit. But I was so turned on that I felt like I could come just kneeling here.
He's gonna come in his jeans.
Hallie leaves, and after having a convo with his little brother Sammy, he decides Hallie would be the right choice to hire for extra help for the bar. It's been 3 days since the party where she ran into Cam, and Honey told her that today Sarah's boys are coming over so she can meet them. Sarah and David are having marital problems, but when Hallie tries to press what's going on, Honey says she can't say, but does say that David is a son of a bitch. While Hallie and Honey are having a little heart-to-heart, there's a knock at the door, and Honey goes to get it. She comes back with a Saks Fifth Avenue gift bag and says Cam just dropped this off, and says it's a truce offering. Inside the gift bag is a note that says, second dress I've ruined, I'm sorry for both. I don't know how to make this up to you, but hopefully this can be the start. Cam. And inside is a cherry red dress, just like the one he ruined 3 nights ago. And another one, a deep blue, the same color as the dress she wore 14 years ago when he poured his beer down her at the party.
Aw, that's cute. But also, like, how do you know my size? What if you assume you get too big, you get too small? Either way, I'm offended.
It fits like a glove.
Wonderful.
He just clearly knows her, okay, Riley?
Yeah.
He has an eye for this.
Cam is met with a very angry Hallie, slamming the gift bag on the counter, asking him, what the fuck is this? He's like, girl, it's a gift. She's like, I don't want it. And he's like, donate it then. It's a gift. They have an intense stare off, and then suddenly, there's tension. And next thing Cam knows, he's blushing. He's like, what are we? Cam insists that he's trying to make up for all the horrible things that he's done to her, and he would really like for her to work for him because they are struggling. She insists that he has to know that she's fine without him and that she does have a full-time job. She's like, just so you know, I'm not poor. Like, I don't need you. And he's like, okay.
He's like, chill, girl, but we need you.
Yeah. But she does tell him, okay, fine, like, I do need a job to keep my mind busy. And she, like, fucking hustles him. They settle on her working 3 days a week, Wednesday, Thursdays, Fridays, from 5 to close, making $30 an hour.
Oh my God, that's great.
He was like, dang, that's a lot. And she's like, take it or leave it.
And he's like, okay. She tells him that she is to get going because she's meeting her nephews for the first time tonight, and this makes his demeanor change. She asks what the hell is up with the secrecy about Sarah's life, but Cam insists that he can't get involved. What she doesn't know is that David, Sarah's husband, is banned from all the bars in Citrus Cove, and David has tried to get a restraining order on Cameron multiple times, and that if he ever stepped foot on Cameron's property, he was a dead man, and Cameron really worries for Sarah. Hallie meets her nephews, Jake and Davey, for the first time, and instead of Sarah dropping them off, her husband David drops them off. And David is a drunk piece of shit. He immediately is rude to Hallie and tells her no one wants her here and that she'll just be a bad influence on his sons. This man hates her guts for no fucking reason.
They went to school together. They were acquaintances. And she's like, you don't even know me.
Yeah, what the fuck? Fuck you, David.
She takes the convo out front because it's getting very intense and she doesn't want her nephews to witness this because, like, she wants to know what this guy's problem is. As she gets closer, she immediately smells alcohol on him and asks if he's drunk. And of course, he lashes out and tells her that she abandoned her family to be a worldly whore. And then he's like, fuck you, and stumbles back to his car.
No, fuck you.
As he's walking away from her, a truck pulls up and it's Cam. David speeds off and Cameron walks up making sure she's okay. He came just to drop off employment paperwork since he didn't have her number, and she's kind of taken back by what just happened. And Cameron tells her that a lot has changed since she's left and things aren't the best right now. She's kind of being put in the middle of everything. He invites her to a small get together at Colt's house tomorrow night, and she gives him her number and tells him she'll think about it. And this is the first time that they give each other little nicknames for each other. And she says, "See you tomorrow, Cam." And he says, "See you, Hal."
Oh, cute, cute, cute.
It's the next day and she gets to the party. It's nice, but a very intimate get together. And it's really awkward because everyone knows that Cameron traumatized her in school. And she doesn't know how everyone's supposed to act. Like, is everyone supposed to act like it didn't just happen?
Yeah, that is so awkward. Just to be like hanging out with this guy that used to literally be the fucking worst to you. And everyone witnessed it there. And they're just like, oh, so now you guys are like hanging out?
Yeah, and everyone's like, so are we going to bring this up or no?
You know what? I would bring it up. Get it out there. Might as well. Talk about it.
She tries to break the tension by getting up to go to the bathroom, and he insists to follow her. And once inside, she has a very valid crash out. And she's like, why did I even come here? Like, this must look so pathetic that I'm like trying to be friends with you. And he tries telling her it's him who's pathetic. He's the one who was so awful to her. No one, including him, thinks that of her at all. She never deserved the way that he treated her, and he will do anything to make it up to her. She looks at the cup of beer in her hand and then laughs. And he gets down on his knees and looks at her dead in the eyes and says, pour it. She's like, no, I shouldn't. Okay. And then dumps it straight over him.
Yeah. I bet that felt great.
Yeah, but also in my head, I'm like, girl, you're in someone else's house. Like, take it outside. Yeah,
true.
If I walked into my house and someone was pouring, I'd be like, girl, what the fuck? Get out. He tells her that he's going to wear this beer for the rest of the night like a badge of honor. And she can't lie. It feels pretty good. It's the next day and she has her first training shift with Cam, and she's wearing the blue dress he got her and she looks stunning in it. They decide to make a truce to start over. She can let everything from the past go if he can. They shook on it. So that's literally all it took. They're done. She just poured beer over him. And he's like, we're friends now.
He did get her two dresses.
He did.
He said sorry. He went to therapy, Jenna.
His brother beat him up.
True.
Yeah. I think the boy learned.
With 30 minutes left of the shift, he starts closing down the bar and his sleeves are rolled up, and she knows there's an oak tree tattoo on his forearm. And she's like, is this supposed to represent the Harlow legend? And he's like, oh, no, girl, it's not a legend. It's true. I can take you there one day if you want. And she's like, isn't that supposed to be for the girl you're going to marry? And he's like, yep. And then just continues cleaning.
What is this?
There's a man sitting in the corner by himself, and he calls her over asking her to fill him a cider, but immediately there's something off about him. He asks her what her name is, and she tells him, and when she goes to put the drink down, he snatches out and grabs her wrist really quick.
No.
He lets go just as quickly and apologizes and tells her that he's a jeweler and she has such small wrists. But she's still like super put off by him, and she's like, what's your name? And he tells her it's Andy, and then slips her cash and walks away.
It's that one guy, that one killer guy from back home.
Maybe, but also maybe not. But also maybe.
Either way, he's fucking weird.
He is a weirdo.
Cam sees the exchange and rushes to her side. She insists she's fine, and that guy was just hella weird, but he's like, no, if that ever happens again, you will let me know. As she tries to stand up for herself, her phone rings, and it's her bestie Emma in a panicked tone. Hallie walks out of the room to take the phone call, and that's when Emma drops the bomb that she went to Hallie's apartment to grab some things to send her to Texas, but when she went in, her entire apartment has been ransacked, and there's writing all over her walls. The police are there, and everything's a mess, and someone is after her.
No, that is so scary.
Emma sent her a picture of the apartment. The couch is gutted, everything is smashed and torn, and then sent her a picture of the writing on the wall that said, whore, slut, I'm coming for you, bitch. It should have been you. You're next.
I'd immediately shit a log in my pants.
Yeah. She's wearing a dress, too.
Log on the floor.
It'd fall right out my thong.
Cam's like, actually, I'm not going to take you to that tree. That's gross.
He's like, yeah, I'm not going to marry you, actually.
That's when her world came crashing in, because what she didn't tell anyone that day, out of fear or panic, was right before the murderer left that girl's apartment, he looked at her with such hate in his eyes and said, you're next.
Why wouldn't you tell anyone that? What?
Because she's a dumb bitch. It's like the most important part of everything. And she's like, I'm going to keep this to myself.
I immediately would be like, cop, cop. He just said that to me. What are you going to do?
Cam shuts down the bar, and as he's walking through the hallway, he sees Hallie having a full-blown mentee bee and is like, what the fuck's going on? She's, like, sitting on the floor, like, in the fetal position, rocking back and forth.
Yeah, I would be too.
He rushes over to her, pulling her in close to his chest, and she's, like, catatonic and sobbing, and he's trying to figure out what the hell's going on. He can hear shouting coming from her phone on the ground, and he picks it up, and it's Emma on the other line, demanding to know who the hell is talking to Hallie right now. He tells her it's Cam, and she's like, oh, hell no. I know you did not just say Cameron fucking Harlow. Once my bestie's okay, we're gonna have to have a talk. After Hallie talks to Emma again, Emma threatens Cam that if anything happens to Hallie while Emma's not there, she swears she will grind his balls with a nutcracker.
Oh.
Once the call ends, Hallie asks to have a few more minutes to collect herself, then she'll explain what's going on, but she just wants this kept a secret.
Tell everyone.
Tell no one.
I don't get it.
He gets her water and a whiskey, and then she tells him everything that happened up until the call today and showed him pictures of the wall. Her biggest fear right now is that this crazy person obviously broke into her apartment. He knows who she is, her family, everything about her, and that her being here is not safe for anyone. She needs to be gone by the morning. And he's like, are you crazy? Like, if you leave, you're going to be unprotected and alone. Like, I will protect you. And she's like, wow, that sounds like you care about me and want me. And he's like, yeah, I do.
I care about you, I whispered. It may be crazy. I may not have a single shot in hell with you, but I care, Hal. I care a lot, and I like you more than I should. She swallowed hard, her gaze dancing with something I couldn't quite read. It is crazy, because if I didn't know any better, I'd say you want me. I do want you. I want you like a garden wants a sun. When I see you, I can't see anything else. I want you and no one else. Maybe I've always wanted you.
Like the garden wants the sun.
Cute. But like, I think if like Andrew said that to me in real life, I'd be like, where'd you hear that? Yeah.
Loser.
Why don't you go tell that to your boyfriend?
They make a plan to go to the police station tomorrow, and he's going to do everything in his power to show her that he was meant for her. So the next day, they get to the police station, and she tells the sheriff that someone is after her. Finally.
Good. Thank you.
She gives him the rundown of the open case in Boston, but there's nothing to be done. There's no suspects, no leads, no evidence that connects her apartment break-in to the neighbor's murder, because at that time, she didn't say during the murder that that guy was like, you're next. So they were like, must be a coincidence. I don't know.
Okay, but like, same building, and it says, I'm coming for you.
Coincidence.
Ugh, fucking cops.
As they're on their way to a breakfast spot, Cameron asks her out on an official date tomorrow for a little picnic and wine tasting, and she agrees. He says, cool, one condition, let me drive your Corvette. She says, fat chance in hell, brother, you'll have to get on your knees and beg. He quickly gets out of the passenger side of the car once they pull up to Citrus Cove Cafe. She's worried she said something wrong, and that is until her driver door is flung open.
Cam took a step back, and I watched as he lowered himself, his blue jean-covered knees hitting the gravel. Cam, I hissed, on my knees, sunshine, I'm begging you to let me take you on a picnic and spoil you, and for you to let me take a ride in that Corvette.
Oh, let the man drive.
They have a moment and are about to smooch when Sarah's husband, David, ruins it by asking him what the hell he's doing here and that he must be stalking him because he's a weirdo. He's like, what are you doing here, weirdo? You stalking me?
As he's at the town cafe.
Yeah. Hallie's taken back because her sister's standing next to David looking pale and tired but alive. And this is the first time that she's seen her sister. Hallie steps forward to talk to her sister, but Sarah tells her she's not interested in what she has to say and she wants nothing to do with her.
Sarah.
David slings an arm around Sarah's shoulder and agrees with her, and Sarah stiffens, and then they leave together. But Hallie's immediately worried for her sister, and Cameron agrees that something is wrong, only he doesn't know what. He's tried to help, and that's what started all the fights between him and David, but he just can't get through to Sarah.
They have breakfast at the diner together, and while he's looking at her, he starts to get hard just thinking about what it would be like to fuck her. She notices and tells him that she wants him too. And he says, how about after they eat, they go back to his place to get her mind off of things, and she says she's down. They talk a little bit about their favorite things and their life goals, and then she asks him what he likes in bed.
I love spanking. I love playing with things like blindfolds, handcuffs, any sort of restraint. And I've taken classes on how to do it properly so no one is harmed. I enjoy fucking outside. The idea of taking you tomorrow at our picnic is going to keep me up tonight. And I love eating pussy. I fucking love it. I'd die between a woman's thighs happily. Her mouth fell open, her cheeks turning bright pink. Fuck, she whispered. I didn't think what? That a country boy could be kinky? Oh my God.
Imagine just like having that conversation as you're like munching on bacon.
Insane.
He took classes. He's very serious about this.
He's like, just, you know, I love spanking. I love playing with things like blindfolds. I love eating pussy, you know.
I might be a little bit of a dominant. I don't know.
Anyway.
My BDSM test is a high possibility.
Can you pass me the ketchup?
He tells her he'll have her begging for his cock like a good girl if she wants. Then he asks what she likes, and she says she likes hair pulling and getting spanked. She's intrigued about the outdoor stuff, too. And Cam says they better get out of here before someone notices how hard he is.
Oh my God, that happened so quickly.
Yeah, she was just like verbally assaulted in the parking lot.
Yeah.
As soon as they get in his truck, she asks if she can touch him. He says, hell yeah, and tells her he's been tested and he's negative for everything. She gives him a little roadhead, and he says if she keeps it up, he's going to lose control and face fuck her.
Oh my God.
He's a dom. He's a daddy dom.
Yeah, he is.
They pull over in a secluded area, and he tells her to touch herself, and she is positively soaked.
Yes, she has.
He grabs a blanket and puts it in the truck bed. They get in and he starts feasting on her. She comes and then he tells her he has condoms, but she wants it raw.
Oh, raw dog the first time?
Yeah, he told her he got tested.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
She climbs on him and they fuck until she comes.
I'm so close, he rasped. You feel so good. I want you to fill me. I whimpered. I am sunshine. You're gonna take every fucking drop. I don't know why, but the nickname Sunshine, not for me. Not for me.
Not even from a country boy, a country bumpkin.
Just like in a sexual sense? No, not at all. I am sunshine. You're gonna take every fucking drop. No.
When they're done, he tells her he's crazy about her.
He chuckled and planted a kiss on me. He slowly began to pull out, leaning back and looking at his cum dripping out of me. He let out a soft moan, reaching between my legs. I gasped as he pushed it back in. He had this look on his face, a possessive one, one I'd never seen before. The sun dappled his tan skin, his gaze searing me as he pushed more of his cum back inside of me.
They do love to do that.
He's an alpha. He tells her he's touched himself thinking about her, and he feels horrible for the way he treated her. He's gonna make it up to her by worshiping her, and now they need to get back to his place because he isn't done with her yet. But when they get there, his brother Hunter is home. They walk inside holding hands, and Hunter is shook, but invites the two of them to family dinner tonight. He says he has some questions for Hallie because he heard about her visit to the station earlier. Hallie heads upstairs to take a shower, and when the boys are alone, Hunter throws a punch and misses, asking Cam what the fuck he's doing. Because remember, Hunter beat the shit out of him for bullying Hallie in high school.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Cam tells Hunter he's grown up since they were kids and he has no other intention aside from protecting Hallie. Also, he's taking a few days off of work. Hunter gets in his truck and leaves, so Cam joins Hallie in the shower and finger blasts her a little bit.
Oh, sly.
After she comes, he tells her they're gonna order pizza and snuggle. And he's a big snuggler in this book. Like, after everything, he wants a snuggle.
Cutie.
A few days pass and they're basically inseparable. Honey catches on and is like, I hope this thing with Cam means you're staying forever. She says maybe, and then asks about her sister. Honey says that she doesn't know exactly what's going on, but she knows it has to do with David, and she doesn't want to rock the boat. Hallie gets Sarah's address and decides to head over, but texts Cam and tells him what she's doing, and they'll meet later to debrief. He says okay, and he's going to have a picnic ready. She stops at the gas station to get some Pepsis and is stunned when she sees David. But this man is dressed differently, and he's driving a small electric car. So it couldn't be David.
What the fuck?
Doppelganger.
Yeah. But, like, I would automatically assume that was David just because he's wearing, like, a suit and an electric car. She's like, it can't be him. It's just his doppelganger. Surely it's not him.
No, I'd say, what are you doing in a suit and an electric car?
She gets to Sarah's and knocks. Sarah tries to tell her to leave, but Hallie asks if David is hitting her. Sarah says no, nothing is physical. They decide to meet at Sarah's work at 10 p.m. tonight, and then they can talk, but not here, because it's not safe. Hallie gets in her car to go meet Cam and looks at her phone. She has a text from an unknown number that just says, you're next.
Stop it.
Leave me alone.
Don't.
She's panicking, and then she sees there's a picture coming through from the same anonymous number and decides she'll open it when she's with Cam. She races to his house, and he's already waiting for her. He sees her face and scoops her up while she falls apart and calms her down by singing "You Are My Sunshine" to her.
Oh my god. That'd be my fucking breaking point.
Can you do it in a country accent, Riley?
You are my sunshine. My only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom. Soaked.
That would make me cry harder.
Stop doing that.
I'd be like, you're embarrassing me.
They look at the phone together, and the picture is of her and Cam sitting together at the diner. So he found her, the mystery man. That night, they have a video call with Hunter, Colt, Emma, and Sammy. So Emma's in on the shenanigans now. Like, she wants in. She wants the tea.
Okay.
She's part of the gang now. Hunter has a friend at the station that pulled some strings to get some more information. And they all decide that Hallie cannot be left alone whatsoever. A thunderstorm starts, but Hallie still has to meet Sarah in a few hours. So her and Cam sit on the porch to watch the rain. They haven't had a chance to fuck at all today. And Hallie says she needs it now. And she needs it rough.
Hallie, you have a murderer coming after you.
That's why she needs it rough.
Yeah. I want you to spank me, restrain me, blindfold me. I want you to make me come so hard I feel like I'm dying. I want you to use me over and over again. Cam, I need you. He ran his thumb over my cheek, stroking my chin. His eyes reflected the storm around us, his cock throbbing against me. You want to be my good girl, he whispered. A silent thrill ran through me. Yes, more than anything. Okay.
He tells her to bend over the porch swing and spread her legs. He rips her dress clean off and uses it as a blindfold. So, third dress down at this point.
Oh my god, so many dresses.
Then he takes off his pants, pulls his dick out, and spanks her with it. Oh. He pulls her hair, spanks her, and then slides his fingers into her. Then he slides his dick in and fucks her until they both come. He flips her around to sit on him on the swing without pulling out. He starts rubbing her clit, and now he's getting hard again while he tells her how bad he's always wanted her. They both come again, and he suggests a shower and a snuggle before they go see her sister. When she meets up with Sarah, she's met with a big, giant hug, and she tells Hallie how sorry she is and how much she'd missed her. Sarah talks about David, who doesn't hit her but throws things and yells and is financially abusive, so she can't leave. Hallie says she'll help with money so she can leave with the boys, and then tells Sarah about Cam and how she's falling in love with him. They decide to get Sarah a burner phone that David can't look through, and they'll make their plan. They decide to meet again in a few days. A couple days pass, and Cam has a picnic set up for Hallie. He brings her to the family oak tree with the initials on it. He wants to tell her that he loves her, but he fumbles and just tells her how beautiful she is instead. They drink wine and eat grapes and cheese and freshly baked rosemary sourdough. And I was reading this, and I was like, oh my god, that sounds so fucking good.
That sounds so fuck. I love just a grapes and cheese moment.
Oh, sourdough.
Fresh sourdough.
Oof. Oh my god. Things start getting lusty, and she pours wine all over her dress so he can lick it off.
Oh my god.
Fourth dress.
But that was her own doing.
It was. He rips it off of her. That was his fault. And asks if he can spank her with his belt, and she says, hell yeah, you can.
Cameron Harlow, I need you to fuck my pussy and breed me like I'm your own personal slut. I want you to spank me so that when I sit at Honey's table in the morning, I know that ache is because of you. I need you to fuck me, Cam. Fuck her, Cam.
I want to sit across from my grandma and think about how you fucked me. Ugh.
I want my ass to hurt.
He starts whacking her, and she's dripping as he tells her what a good girl she is. He slides a finger in her and tells her to taste herself.
He kissed my ass cheeks. His touch reminded me of the marks the belt left. The pain made me moan, all while I sucked my juices off his finger. I'm going to fuck you, he whispered. Keep sucking. The anticipation was killing me. I kept sucking as he moved closer behind me, his cock slapping against my pussy. He pulled his finger free and gripped my hips. Are you ready, baby girl?
Are you lost, baby girl?
He slams into her and puts a thumb in her butt, asking if she's ever been fucked here before. Woo! She says no, and he asks if she wants to, and she says yes. So he whips out a bottle of lube from the picnic basket and starts fingering her butt while he fucks her. He packed the lube with the snacks.
What a king.
Prepared.
You're taking me so well, baby, he murmured. Soon you'll be taking my cock here too. I should get us a toy to use. I shivered, pleasure rolling through me. I'm so close, I rasped. I know, sunshine. I can feel you milking my cock, my desperate little whore.
Okay. Whoa. I just don't know how I would feel. You know, dirty talk aside, that was still her school bully. I think that would make me spiral. I think that would bring me back.
He's like, you little fucking orphan slut.
The word desperate, I'm like, whoa. Careful.
No, I'm not. He comes, she comes, and then he tells her one day he will be marrying her. He cleans her off and feeds her chocolate, and then she asks if he's heard of CNC. He says yeah, and she says she wants to try it with him soon, and he's down as hell.
Oh, you kinky people.
They head back to his place, where she secretly publishes an article she's been working on about his winery. They relax a little and head over to the winery to get a drink, but it's packed because her article was a hit, and now they have to jump in to help Hunter and Colt because they're drowning. Because she's so popular, she published it and boom, the whole country rushed over.
Hell yeah.
Woo! They work together to bust everything out, and at the end of the night, Hallie and Cam are canoodling when Cam walks away. Hallie is approached by the creepy jeweler, Andy, who demands Hallie's number. She refuses, and he tells her she's such a stuck-up whore, so he doesn't understand why she'd want some country bumpkin over him.
Andy?
He really knows how to speak to a woman.
Yeah.
What if she was like, okay, you're right.
Yeah. Actually, that worked.
Yeah, you got me. Here's my number. Also, I have a fucking theory. Listen to it. So, that guy they saw earlier, you know, they think it's Devod, the electric car, and like, what else was different about him? A suit.
A suit.
I think David traveled to the city. This is probably so stupid now that I'm saying it, actually. But I think David was the killer guy in the apartment.
Versus Andy?
Possibly. I don't know, actually.
Or maybe they're in cahoots.
Yeah, maybe they're in cahoots.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Andy starts getting really gross with it, and then all of a sudden, he's got Cam's fist to his face. Cam tells him to get the fuck out of his bar, and Andy is like, I've been reading her article. She's not even a good writer. Then he walks out, and a woman tells Hallie that Cam is a keeper. So the whole bar saw this, and this random woman was like, hell yeah!
All right, girl. Also, fuck you. Don't say that about my articles.
I did this.
Yeah. She's rich. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, true.
They take a break together, and Hallie tells Cam she wonders if maybe Andy's the killer. He says he'll protect her no matter what, and she tells him she needs him now. He says he's too pissed to be gentle, and she says that's fine. When he goes to slide in, she's like, no, don't fuck me. And now he knows what her angle is. So he's like, oh, I'm going to fuck you, all right? So she's like, no, don't, stop. And he's like,
I'm going to fuck it, bitch.
Okay.
They get into a struggle. And as he rips her panties off, she's like, get off me, you bully. But then he just spits in her mouth and tells her to swallow it. She spits it back in his face, so he grabs her hair, flips her around, and tells her now she's done it. He fucks her all crazy, and when they both come, she tells him that's just what she needed.
All right.
She just needed a little CNC.
Yeah, near-death experiences just gets this girl fucking horny as shit.
Uh-huh.
She's like, ah, God, I'm alive.
She says she'll meet him out at the car. When she gets to her Corvette, her windows are broken and it's been keyed with whore, bitch, you're next, slut. Also, side note, there's a dead woman with her throat slit in the front seat. And it's the woman that told her Cam was a keeper earlier. Dead.
Oh my God. Yeah. What the fuck? Okay, maybe it is Andy.
She screams and Cam comes running. He calls the cops immediately. She gets a text from the unknown number that says, did you like my gift? It should have been you. But like, then make it be me.
Yeah.
You're saying a lot of stuff.
Do it.
The cops show up, they answer questions. Cam is asked about the fight earlier, but Hallie tells the cops she doesn't think this was Andy. They head home for the night before more questioning in the morning, and Hallie tells Cam this is too much. She's leaving town before someone else dies. The next day, after more questioning at the station, there are no leads, no camera footage, and no trace of Andy. She heads to the cafe with Colt while Cam does some stuff, and Colt tells her that he's bi, which is so fun.
Yeah. Oh, slay, Colt.
Which comes up in the next book. The next book is MMF.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think it's Colt and Hunter and Emma?
Ugh. Oh. Maybe I will be reading.
They see Sarah working, even though she usually doesn't come in this early. She asks Colt about the David doppelganger, but he doesn't know anything about it. They're eating and chit-chatting when none other than David walks in. He goes right up to them and accuses her of sleeping with Colt, and Colt tells him to walk away because he's like, oh, you're eating lunch with a man? You're fucking him, aren't you, you slut?
Typical.
So Colt tells him to walk away, and David is like, or what? You're gonna sleep with my whore wife? And then he tells Hallie that he heard the dead woman should have been her. Colt lunges for David, who looks at Hallie with pure hatred in his eyes and tells her this is all her fault. David grabs Hallie by the hair and slams her to the ground and kicks her in the ribs. Sarah runs out, and her and Colt grab David off of her. Colt pins him to the ground, and Sarah runs to Hallie and tells her she's so, so sorry. And Hallie's like, I'm buying you a house tomorrow. And then she passes out.
Oh my god, but also amazing sister.
When Cameron arrives at the hospital, he sees David handcuffed to a chair and he wants to beat his ass, but Colt stops him, telling him that Hallie needs him right now. Sarah intercepts Cam apologizing, and Colt tells her that they'll get her and the kids out of this situation, and then Cam goes to Hallie. He falls to his knees with tears in his eyes, apologizing for not being there for her. She tells him that David would have done it no matter what, but she wants to focus her energy on getting her sister and nephews away from him. He tells her that they can move in with Honey and she can move in with him. So that's their new plan, on top of figuring out who the murderer is. Just as they are about to leave, though, David walks out with the sheriff. Cameron approaches and they tell him Hallie didn't press any charges per Sarah's request, but they have it handled. When they get to Cam's house, she tells him that she didn't press charges because she wants him to leave them alone and not make anyone else's lives more awful. Once inside, she tells him that she wants him, and he says, not while you're injured. She says that she won't be doing anything. She's just gonna lay back and enjoy the show.
She's like, no, I want you to do all the work.
He pulls up a chair and undresses himself before slowly jerking off, and she calls all the shots.
The moment you feel better, I promise that we're gonna do every fucking thing that you can think of, including me fucking your throat until you can't breathe and you beg for me to stop. Is that a promise? I asked. Cam chuckled and straightened, stroking his cock only a few inches from my face. Yes, baby, it's a promise. Now spit on it.
He starts jerking off in front of her, and then he asks her for a pillow.
I slowly reached back, grabbing a pillow and tossing it at him. He caught it, bending it so that he could thrust his cock into it. I sucked in a breath as I watched him, realizing this was one of the most erotic things I'd ever seen in my entire life. He was fucking a pillow, his eyes still fixated on me, never leaving me as he groaned, over and over. He cursed under his breath, his head falling back. He's just fucking a pillow.
Jay from Big Mouth.
Yeah. Jay Bilzerian on his fuck pillow. I mean, I get it. Sometimes those pillows, they be talking to you. Yo.
I have never fucked a pillow in my life.
Me either.
I think I've said I like have humped a pillow. Yeah,
it's a great time. Been there, done that, girls.
Give it a try, Charlotte.
Don't knock it till you try it, girl.
Come on, Shelby, hump a pillow.
I don't want to fuck my pillow.
I rest my weary head upon it every night.
Well, not your head pillow.
Not your, like, bare vagina either.
Yeah.
You keep your clothes on and find a different pillow. Specifically a fuck pillow.
It sounds like too much work. He comes everywhere and then uses a finger to pick some up and licks it off. Then he demands that she opens her mouth, and then he spits his own cum into it and he tells her to swallow. And I put, is that hot? I think it's hot.
Yeah. I'm going to ask Andrew to do it.
Greg has such a sensitive stomach. I fear he would gag and then that would ruin it.
He just vomits into your mouth?
Yeah.
He gets dressed and goes to get them food and her medicine. She can't believe that she's about to build a new life with Cam, and she's really happy about it. The next morning, he leaves Hallie sleeping and puts a note on the bed letting her know that he's gonna go to his family meeting. He lets them know at breakfast that he is in love with Hallie and plans on marrying her. He also hopes that she plans to stay in Citrus Cove because if not, he is going to move away to wherever she wants to go. And pretty much his whole family is like, okay.
Cool. You're 32. Go.
They finish breakfast and then he goes to Colt's before heading home. He interrupts Colt's little session with the guy, but Colt isn't mad and he lets Colt know that if Hallie wants him to move, he will move because he wants to marry her. And he's like, okay, let me go get dressed. We'll get your engagement ring. It's a week later and they move Sarah and the boys out of the house and into the new home that Hallie bought them. When Cam grabs the last box from her and David's old house, he smells something really weird and follows it until it leads to a basement door. Hallie calls him back to the front and they agree that it's probably just a dead mouse or something down there. It's never just a dead mouse.
No.
They leave to go take the boxes, but she's tired of healing and unzips his pants while he's driving. She gives him another blowy until he comes, and then they pull up at Sarah's new house to unload all of the boxes. Once they're done unpacking, it's late and they go back to their house.
I want you on our bed with your thighs spread. I want you to get the lube and work it into your pussy and ass for me. I have a surprise for you. I'm gonna put it in your ass.
She goes inside and he gives her a minute to do as he said as he locks the house up and grabs the freshly cleaned and prepped toys that he bought for them. He goes upstairs and sees that she listened and then he checks in with her to make sure her ribs are okay. She says yes and she will tell him if anything is too much. He tells her to turn over and then he gives her her new butt plug and puts it in. Then he tortures her with the new vibrator until she's begging for him. He makes her come three more times before he finally undresses and gives her what she wants. He fucks her hard until she comes.
I didn't stop. I kept fucking her all the way through her orgasm, going until I felt myself getting closer. Fill me, she moaned. I want you to breed me like your own little slut. She does love to say that, you little slut.
He finishes and then they clean up and go to bed. He wakes up early the next morning and lets her know that he's gonna go to the winery because he feels like he missed something very important and wants to check it out. After searching the property and checking the security footage for the 100th time, still no clues. He sits at his desk and thinks about everything going on and then he smells smoke. He gets up and walks out of his office to see his winery is on fire.
Arson!
No. He shoots a text to Hunter to have him call 911.
Sir, you call 911.
He has a plan. He has a plan. He runs to his car hiding because he knows that whoever just did this still has to be here. He hears boots on gravel, and as soon as they're about to pass his vehicle, he jumps up and grabs them. It's Andy, and he demands to know if he killed the woman in the car the other night. And Andy says no, but he will kill Cameron.
What the fuck?
They fight and Cameron feels a sharp pain in his side seeing that he's been stabbed. Sirens approach and Andy tells him that he's lucky and takes off running. Sammy and his mom stand over him asking what the fuck just happened and he tells them that Andy stabbed him and then he passes out. Hallie storms into the hospital and when she sees the sheriff, she unleashes fury. He tells her that they got Andy and they'll talk to her in a little bit. Cameron's okay but he lost a lot of blood. She hugs his mom and then they go to his room. Her and Cameron profess their undying love to one another and then the sheriff comes in. Andy admitted to killing the woman in her Corvette but has never been to Boston. The first night at the bar, Hallie turned him down is when his obsession with her started. They also received security footage from Boston so they're hoping to confirm that he is tied to that soon. The next day, they discharge Cam and they go home. She checks in with her sister and learns that David still hasn't found their new address, but he's also been gone for work for a whole week.
Gone for work, you say?
He's a traveling insurance agent and is out of town frequently. She goes to nurse Cameron back to health at their home and tells him that she wants to stay in Citrus Cove, but they agree that they both need a vacation after everything that's happened. She tells him that she will grab her phone and his medicine downstairs and they can book their tickets to wherever they're planning on going. Once she has her stuff, she turns to go back upstairs, but David's doppelganger is there.
What the fuck?
It's not David. He's in a suit.
Suit David.
She immediately recognizes his voice, and it's the same one from the woman's murder in Boston. He tells her if she screams, her and Cameron die because he does have a gun. He leads her out of the house and into the car as Cameron comes running down the stairs, drenched in blood from ripping his stitches open. They drive, and he tells her that he is David's twin, and they've been switching back and forth for years. He was never allowed to go to school because of their mom, so no one knows that he even exists except for David.
What the fuck?
It's made it to where he can perfect killing women since he's been after her since high school.
Jesus.
He admits that she looks just like their mom and was supposed to be his first kill all those years ago in high school, and then he knocks her out. Cameron calls the sheriff and his family, filling them in. It's a citywide manhunt, and they're all hands on deck patching him up and trying to find Hallie. Hunter stitches him back up as Alexa, one of the sheriff deputies, comes in, letting them know that they matched Prince to a Thomas Connor, and the footage also shows a lookalike like David, but it's his twin or a doppelganger. Cameron's panic increases as they go over where he would have taken Hallie. Then he remembers the basement at Sarah and David's house and the weird smell. Sarah admits that she wasn't allowed in the basement, and they all agree to go over there and check it out now. Hunter, Alexa, and Cameron go, while Sarah stays behind, and Alexa tells them that since she's the deputy, she'll check out the basement and call if she needs them, but they're not buying it. They go in with her. She gives them orders to check the rest of the house at least while she checks the basement. The house is completely destroyed. There's blood on the carpet, and they hear movement below. Alexa steps down the stairs and a gun goes off. Cameron and Hunter rush down to see an intoxicated David shot in the leg. They demand to know where his brother took Hallie, and he just says that he warned the stupid whore to leave. So David knew what was going to happen.
He did tell her to leave. Good looking out, David, honestly.
I just don't understand how Sarah could never know that it wasn't her husband at times.
She's like, you're being weird today.
He's probably just like, shut up, bitch.
Cameron beats him up and they call for backup to come take David away, but David just smiles creepily at Cameron with blood running down his face.
Ugh.
Hallie wakes up handcuffed to a pipe in a small room. He comes down the stairs telling her that he's waited so long for this and he can't wait to end it. He then proceeds to kick the shit out of her, re-cracking her ribs, kicking her in the head, like just full on beats the fuck out of her. And then he tells her that he'll be back for some fun. She searches for anything to undo her handcuffs and remembers that she's wearing a bobby pin. She unlocks them and stands, but almost passes out from the pain. She finds a beer bottle and breaks it, using it as a weapon, and knows that she needs to lure him back down there and be quick. She hides behind some boxes and screams for him until she hears keys unlock in the basement door. As he approaches where he had her chained, she runs up the steps, slamming the door into his wrist. She takes off again and feels him right behind her when she smashes the bottle on his head and makes run for it outside. She's running through a field that she does not recognize and hears him right behind her yelling her name, and then a bullet whizzes right past her head. She sees headlights coming her way and sirens, but then a bullet now grazes her arm. The sirens get closer as he tackles her to the ground, yelling profanities at her while choking her out. Her vision blurs, but she uses the last of her fight to shove her thumbs into his eye sockets.
Ugh.
Once he's off of her, she scrambles back and more shots fire out, but not at her. They fire at him. And then she sees Cam running for her. She yells that she loves him, and Thomas shoots her in the shoulder as he's tackled to the ground. She feels Cameron hold her and tell her it's over, but she whispers that she loves him before everything goes black.
She's dead.
The end.
I know better.
Cameron paces at the hospital waiting for news. Alexa is dead because Thomas shot her before shooting Hallie, barely missing Hallie's heart. The files in the basement of her house and all of those boxes that he took her to were full of all of the memorabilia from the women that he's killed over the past 14 years. And every single one of them looks like a variation of Hallie.
Damn.
The mindfuck of the identical twins was messing with everyone, but mostly Sarah, because now Sarah doesn't know if her kids are David's or Thomas's.
I'm sorry, but like, she's still a dumb bitch in my eyes.
She's the victim.
How do you not understand that someone's not your husband?
If they're identical twins that you never knew about the one twin, and he's like a dick all the time.
One's a serial killer, one's a drunk.
I don't know.
It's crazy, girl.
It's crazy.
Cameron refuses to leave until he hears about Hallie, and then a nurse approaches. She's now stable, but they did lose her for a moment. Anything can happen during the night, and it's truly a waiting game, but he has to get his stitches redone again. 3 days later, he hasn't left her side and she hasn't woken up. He holds the engagement ring that he picked for her, and when he isn't paying attention, he feels her hand squeeze his and she whispers, "There's my husband."
Cute.
They both cry and hold each other, and then everything comes back to her. He voices when Thomas's obsession started with Hallie. Back in high school at the barn party before she punched him, Thomas was the one that almost interrupted them with the dark hair.
Okay.
And Cam interrupted him from making a move on Hallie. So he held the grudge against Hallie, who also happens to look like his mom. I don't fucking know. He lets her know that Sarah is okay physically, but not mentally. And they're all getting their therapy appointment set up.
Sly. You all need it.
Cam crawls into bed and falls asleep for the first time in 3 days. It's 1 month later. Everything's calmed down. Her and Emma are finishing getting ready for the ceremony. Her and Cam are getting married in the vineyard, and they can finally start their lives. The end.
Beautiful.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I liked it. I think I'd give it 4. It was cute. A little dark, a little dangerous.
Twisty turny.
Yeah, twisty turny.
Do you think Cam is sexy?
Yeah, he's fine. He's not fine. Like the hottest, but like he's fine. He learned, he grew, he's doing well. He's a protective man.
And would you trade places with Hallie?
No. Oh my God, no. I don't want that many people trying to kill me.
Well, next week we're telling Riley all about Such a Good Girl by Effie Campbell, and we're gonna have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
So it's like a cabin in the forest and it's dark, and it says Such a Good Girl, and then at the top it says Hot Creeps. Man, I really don't know. Maybe she goes on like this vacation and this guy starts kind of creeping around her cabin, and she's like, whoa, stop. But then he like gets inside. He has a reason for getting inside. I don't know what it is, but she lets him inside and they chat. They get to know each other, but he's like bad, so she's still kind of scared because he's like dangerous, and they like build a relationship in the cabin. How'd I do?
It's way more crazy than that.
Okay. Well, I'm excited.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.